nice, sweet group of people you all are, that this morning you would rather sit there and humbly assume that you're all going deaf rather than one of you raise your hand and say, "Hey, dummy, turn on your microphone."
I can hear you.
All right. Okay. Trouble is, they couldn't record anything, so they suggest, "Can you do that again?" Okay. My pal. Yeah, I heard what you said. He's on a roll. Don't disturb him. Okay. So, this evening, continuing part two of all the things that God has blessed us with, you know, looking at the provisions that he has provided, especially from the context that was just read by Greg. We're just continuing on that, and this is something, I mean, it's... We had a good long list this morning and a good long list this evening, and it's still not all of it. I mean, sometimes I think you go to God in prayer and you thank him for the blessings, and it might even be that, I mean, there's categories possible we don't even conceive of where God is doing something for us. I mean... And just try to stretch your mind, you know, beyond the protection and the provision and the opportunities and the resources and everything that's there. There's still things that probably we're not even aware of that God is doing. I mean, he could be like beyond the farthest star doing something, you know, that will benefit, you know, this tiny little planet out in the middle of nowhere. It's God looking out for us. And so this is one of the things we're doing is trying to look at some of these things that we might give him, you know, thanks. Especially at this time of year, but also, always, every day, in our prayers, with thanksgiving, trying to think of all the things that that he's constantly doing for us. And obviously, if we all constantly went through the list or just a portion of it every day, how much better your life would seem, that you're not neglected, that you are loved, that you are provided for, that God really, that's seems to be what his whole purpose is, We're his creation, and he loves us, and he wants to do for us. I mean, if you're parents, don't you want to do things for your kids? I mean, you sacrifice for them, send them to school, the best schools, take care of them, whatever they need, first car, all that. God can, wants to do even more. Okay. So, should feel a little bit uplifted, when we leave here tonight. Yeah, we can get by this. We've already looked at some of this. There are about three things people can do when they make a mistake. As we start off on this, they can resolve never to make another one. Good luck on that. There's also, let their mistakes make cowards of them. And a lot of people do have that choice. They don't want to do anything again, because, they tried something once and they failed at it. Or awful consequences, and so they've determined never to do that, ever. Right? Or they can learn from their mistakes and enhance their life and seek out more opportunities and maybe try to bless themselves and others. The solutions are oftentimes discovered by making some of the old proven ideas work. A lot of times the innovation just, it may be cool that's innovation, but we forget sometimes that it's the old tried and true methods. They're really what you need to fall back on. I mean, in sports, what the coach will tell you, when your arm starts to go weird or you're running spastically, you go back and do the basic building exercises to get the strength, to get the coordination back in there. The old basics that are boring, whatever, but they're the solid foundation for whatever you're trying to do. And same with life, and especially Christianity. So respect for the given word and the willingness to make sacrifices to attain a worthwhile goal. That's it. Okay. What does God's word say? What does he tell us? Are you willing to put yourself out there for it? So, we're looking at various things that God does to provide for us as we're making this effort. Okay, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save. Neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. So when you're having problems, you're just not quite not making it, the world's pulling you down, you know, you realize, you know, you're caught up in a sin, God can help. Okay? So he's with you when you sin. He's powerful enough to make things right if we but follow the power of his gospel, that word, and depend upon the work of his son for redemption, justification, and salvation. Further, Acts 3:19, repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice, a lot of times, you know, our fellow Christians may fail us in this. But with God, this is what John says. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us. And a lot of times, you know, we confess our sins and, you know, we're a little worried about it because once, you know, people hear it, they may think less of us or they may not, you know, it's hard for them to wipe it out, you know, the mistakes that we made. But that's not the problem with God. He's that faithful that when we ask for forgiveness, we ask for remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, it's forgotten as if it never happened. Something else. When you need to grow spiritually. Colossians 3, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above. Okay, keeping looking toward the horizons, keep looking toward heaven. Keep your mind on spiritual things, on loftier things. And that's how you help, you know, raise yourself up. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth.
as is evident in the world, growing up is hard to do. I think there's a song that, you know, it requires the giving up of self and the preparation for handling life, present and eternal. No one but God can help there. Where it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. This is the utmost of life. What are you trying to do here? You're working hard. You're diligently trying to present yourself to God. As, you know, like Paul tells Timothy, a worthy tool. Or here he puts that as a workman, an approved workman, a good craftsman, you know, as handling the word accurately. And, you know, not only understanding it, but applying to your life. In fact, that's really what the archaic, you know, term of, for study means. Not only just, you know, reading and looking and researching, but actually making application. Okay? That's why they decided to update it to diligent. Okay. Or Paul says, one thing I do, I forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Okay. A lot of times, you know, our mistakes can be so bad, you know, that we just want to crawl out, you know, in a corner and die. And, you know, if anybody, you know, would have reason to do that, it'd be Paul. Persecutor, murderer of Christians. He said, yeah, it's just something I have to work through. Press on. You know, there's a future. There's things have to be done. You know, forget about the mistakes that are made in the past. And this is what God helps us with. Also, when you need guidance. No, Psalms 32, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you, you know, with my eye upon you. It's like he's a good coach. He's sitting there working with you, watching you, watching the mistakes, giving you advice along the way, helping you. This is what God is doing, not only, you know, directly in many ways that we're probably not even aware of, but also through the teachers he's provided in the church. Where we need to go and where God wants to take us, no one but he can guide us. No man can take you where a man has not gone before. Who can instruction, who can lead you into the realms of heaven? No one can do that but God himself. Only one that's been there. Thus, in order to make it into God's presence, we must rely on God to get us there.
James 1:5, but if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. Wisdom is one of those strange things, you really can't teach it. But I guess, you know, nowadays we call, you know, being clueless. You know, have you ever tried to make someone not clueless? You know, it's like, you know, they either get it or they don't. You know, it's almost, there's no way to kind of work around it. But there is a way to, you know, drive right through it. Ask God. You know, if you need wisdom, pray. He grants it. Who gives to all men generously and without reproach, it'll be given to him. Or Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, yeah, and these are, again, present tense verbs, ask. Okay, just keep on asking. Yeah, keep on asking. Yeah, I think Jesus gives the example of the widow and the judge. Yeah, here's a man goes, yeah, I don't fear man or God. But because she's so persistent and keeps coming, I just grant what her, you know, what she needs in order to get her out of my life. You know, be persistent. You know, same with, you know, seeking. You know, it's out there. God's provided it for you. Keep looking. Keep studying the scriptures. Keep searching them. You know, looking for, you know, the way God has answered our prayers. That's what He wants us to keep doing. Keep knocking at the door, persistently knocking, knocking, knocking. There's something else that, you know, another proverb Jesus talks about the neighbor who comes over in the dead of night and knocks on the door, you know, because, you know, he's got friends coming from out of town and he didn't provide for them. They showed up unexpectedly. And so he's trying to get food from his neighbor. And the neighbor goes, I mean, I mean, like this guy or whatever, but because he's not going to stop knocking on my door until I give him something so I can, you know, get rid of him and go back to sleep. I mean, we understand to do that when there's something we need, whether it's like the widow or the neighbor or whatever. When we vitally need it, we're persistent at it. And, you know, the scriptures just tell us that's the way God wants us to be. Keep at it. Then God knows we really want it. Or probably, yeah, He already knows that. He just wants us to know that we really want it or need it. So keep at it. When you need help and care. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find the grace to help in time of need. And God wants us to come to Him. Okay? We looked at the persistency of it. But even more, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He shall bring it to pass. Okay? Or cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So what your cares are, what your needs are, again, you know, this is something God can help with. With all the other things that are going, you know, strange in our lives. Okay, when you're ill. Any of you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So you don't need a doctor. All you got to do is pray for, you know, ask, you know, call up Mike in the middle of the night and have him come over and pray over you. Now you get the idea, you know, prayers for the sick. It has been said that sleep is the best medicine. Okay, and what is meant is that the wondrous body that God has given us has recuperative powers to rebuild itself. And I wish they knew this in the hospitals. Where they come and wake you up every 15 minutes and, you know, to give you a shot to go back to sleep. Anyway, God has given us recuperative powers to rebuild, you know, in the body to rebuild itself, to sustain itself, to fight off disease that may assault it. But that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. I mean, there's many things that God can do to help the process along. You know, medicine comes from God. This is one of the why He gave us herbs. A lot of the medicines come from herbs. In fact, a lot of times, you know, some experts tell us is it's better to be left in the herb instead of trying to isolate the thing that helps you. Then it has a tendency to give you side effects. If you leave it in the herb has a way of keeping the side effects down. God knew this, but somehow in our wisdom we, you know, start to get it, you know, away from that. So there's that. That's probably what's in the anointing. That's, you know, maybe more of, you know, the help and the soothing that can go along with this. But, you know, it zeroes in on this, the rest of this. The prayer offered in faith will restore the one that's sick. know, this kind of leaves the anointing behind, because people kind of, you know, fumble over that. What does that mean by the anointing? You know, forget it. It's the prayer that's the important thing, because what we're looking for is God's direct operation in this. And he can do that. The development of medical science, I mean, it's all possible because of God's grace. I mean, they couldn't discover anything if God hadn't put it there for them to discover it. So, what else do we have? John 5:14, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's if you're a child of God. Got to keep that in mind. It's not just for anybody. These are special privileges, all this whole list. It's a special privilege for those that are the children of God. When you face loneliness, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you. Solitary people often develop a companionship of the mind. I know this firsthand, 5 years in a little cabin by myself, you know, without electricity. You have a tendency to talk to yourself. Louis L'Amour calls that companionship of the mind. What he overlooked to explain to me was, I also talked to lizards and dead spiders and whatever. You know, you get really lonely. You have to talk to people. But it's better, you know, if you, instead of an imaginary friend, you actually have a real one in God. Okay, that's what it's really for and what it should be directed at. You know, God is there to talk with. He'll never desert us. We don't have to feel lonely at any time. Psalms 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Okay, even those that are closest and love you the most, at times they're just not going to be able to be there. They have limitations, you know, in their humanity. But God doesn't have limitations in anything. So he can always be there for us, no matter what. No matter where you are, God is there. I mean, some of our earlier astronauts really knew this. You know, even in the depths of space, they could look out the little porthole and go, God's with us. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. Same God that made the farthest corners of this universe and is omnipresent in the farthest corners of this universe. I'm trying to tell you that no matter where you go, I'm there with you. You don't have to feel lonely. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. When persecuted and suffering, Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, there's got to be a reason for the persecution, a good, solid reason for it. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The power of God is such that he can help an individual to actually rejoice in conflicts. You know, the world kind of draws back from problems, sorrows, trials, whatever. But with God, he actually kind of helps us to be masochistic, where you actually start looking forward to the sufferings, you know, because you know, yeah, if you're doing it, if you're being suffering for the right thing, you know, there's a lot of kudos that go with that. There's a lot of understanding that, hey, I must be doing something right, you know, if the world doesn't like what I'm doing. And he can cause our love for him to overcome all joyously. So he says, now, this is Peter and John leaving, you know, chastised by the Supreme Court. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they'd be considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Okay, scolded by the highest authorities, beaten, and they walk out thinking, this is the best thing that's ever happened to us. Probably, you know, you got to think, this is probably a really good thing for Peter, who in the past had rejected his Lord and Master. Now he gets to make up for it. This time he didn't wimp out. Stood his ground. Realized his God was with him. Romans 8:18, Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." That is, you know, the things he has to suffer, momentary light affliction. 2 Corinthians 4. Okay. Could care less. He's seeing so much that God is willing to give, so much is part of the, you know, the value of being a Christian even now, that whatever you have to go through, it's worth it. More than worth it. 1 Peter 4, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation." If you're enjoying yourself now through all you're going through, well, he shows up. When you're sorrowful, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now, God really shows you what matters and what's important in this life, and it's not necessarily material things. When one is full of sorrow, as the term implies, God can drain the mind and heart and fill it with all the blessings of his grace, so that one cannot help but be happily grateful for all around. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death or sorrow or crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Sometimes we don't realize how good we have it. This is talking about the present, not heaven to come. This is what's found in the church. Sometimes we don't know the depths of the problems and the sorrow and things that the world experience, even the people of God, until we investigate and see just how bad things were. And by comparison, yeah, we have a little problems every once in a while, but by comparison, it's like God has wiped away all our sorrow, all our tears. When you need strength. Literally in the Old Testament, there's two things that came to mind. Elijah, if you want to be swift, there was a time when Elijah girded himself up and he ran back to Jerusalem and he beat, you know, Ahab was in a chariot, you know, trying to get back there, and Elijah outran him. You know, God was with him, wings of eagles, you know, he was there in a flash. You know, what's really interesting too is, and we're coming up into it as we start a study of Judges, Samson. Now, the guy didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he didn't lift weights and pump himself up. He looked just like a normal guy. But there's one instance, yeah, and you really got to understand the background to understand just how strong he was. It says at one point he pulled the beams out of the gate, you know, that supported the gate of the city, and they put him on his back. You got to stop and think, how big of a beam, how heavy would it be to support a city gate? High walls, parapet on top, you know, whatever. Pretty massive beams. Put him on his shoulders, and instead he walked to, you know, if you don't understand the destination, okay, Islam, I think it's 17 miles uphill. you maybe put a Volkswagen on your shoulders and drag it one or two steps, you know, but, you know, this guy is like as incredible the strength that God could give him. Just a normal guy. Okay? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Like eagles, they shall run and not be weary. That's where I got the Elijah thing. And they shall walk and not faint. Okay? And there's your Samson. You know, just little examples from the Old Testament. So when you need strength, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is what he told Paul. I mean, Paul would like to be, you know, give me everything I need in order to keep on doing what I'm doing, you know, to make inroads, whatever. And, you know, especially, and this is the circumstance of the thorn of the flesh. Whatever it was, okay, Paul prayed, you know, that it be removed. Okay, and he was being consistent about it. 3 times. Okay. But God said, my grace is sufficient. This is one of the things we have to learn. We don't have to be the very best at what we do. If you've been preaching at all, you know, there's always going to be somebody that, you know, has not exactly the highest opinion of your preaching abilities. Okay. Don't let it get to you, you know, those that are trying to go out. You know, I just tell them, I get the job done. I might not be the most eloquent of speaker, the biggest volume that you ever heard, the greatest scholar you ever run into, but I get the job done through the grace of God. And that's saying a lot, considering, you know, I've told you at one time I almost lost my voice entirely. And there's been a couple of times in my life I've been illegally blind. By the grace of God and the providence of God, you know, it's been there for me. I can tell you firsthand. You know, don't give up on yourself. You know, as Paul said, you know, if God's glory is manifested, or his, you know, grace is manifested through my weaknesses, give me more weaknesses. We studied this morning in John. Who are the Pharisees having a problem with? Some blind guy, you know, that was he's making a living, you know, probably begging, you know, by the side of the road. Couldn't do much, couldn't study, you know, but he could think. He could reason things out. You know, in his simplicity, you know, he, in staying with the facts, he could present himself in such a way that they had nothing to say. Okay. So you don't need, you know, like several PhDs after your name. Okay. All you got to do is stick with the truth. And you can be a problem for anybody on this planet. Just preaching the truth. Paul says, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ might dwell in me. Okay? It's not you, it's the gospel. Okay? It's not you that makes converts, it's the power, you know, it's the power of God through his word. Okay, we got a summary then. This morning it was water, tonight it's fields. Okay? So this is what we looked at this evening. When you sin, God is there. He can help you. He can have your sins washed away. You know, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said, everything that's a shame to you, that's been humiliating, you know, whatever. The one that matters can make it all go away. As if it never happened. When you need to grow spiritually, no one can help you better. I mean, he is the definition of spiritual. You see, you know, people come on the television every once in a while, they talk about the spiritual journey that they can take you through, you know, looking at your navel, or, you know, going, you know, aesthetic, you know, ascetic or whatever. But, you know, a height of spirit in poetry or art or whatever, it's got nothing to do with spirit. Okay. Something spiritual is when it's close to God. Okay. What God provides is true spirituality. And that's the only way you can grow and mature in it, being close to him. When you need guidance, where you got to go, only one person can take you. God. And he's there to lead the way. Need help and care, or when you're ill, yeah, the great physician. Always there for you. When you face loneliness, man, you got the best pal you've ever had in the Lord. Persecuted and suffering. Let's see. If you're choosing up sides, like you used to do on the playground, you know, picking this one, picking this one. How about the whole world on this side and you and God on this one. Who do you think is going to win? When you're sorrowful, no one can wipe away the tears like the Lord can. When you need strength, man. Yeah, even Hercules on his best day wasn't as strong as Samson when God was with him. So, invitation, staying with the ripening grain, two things. God is able to bring you to fruition. Okay. He'll work with you until you are fruitful. That's what you want to be. You know, fruitful in service to your Maker. Okay. That's the epitome of life. In fact, so much so that it'll make it that you'll be able to glean the fields that are white for harvest. Again, that He's made them that way, and He'll help you bring more souls to Him, which is probably the biggest kick in this life, is helping raise lost souls from the dead. So is there anything we can do to help? Okay. Actually, it's not. We're just here kind of doing the best we can. But as we've been trying to present here, it's just God working through us. Don't look at it, well, it's just a bunch of people. Well, we're a bunch of people with God on our side. We're a bunch of people with access to the Almighty through prayer. That's a lot. In fact, that's the best you're going to get in this life. Don't shy away from it. If you need help in anything, if you need help in coming to God to begin with, we can help you. We've been there. And we know what God requires of one to come to God. If you can be baptized this very hour, have your sins washed away, start a new life. If you've already made that decision and you're running into problems, man, this world is getting more and more of a lure to it. It's getting stronger in its deception, in its power, in its enticement, temptation, its intimidation. We need each other. And we all need God. Anything we can do to help, prayers, counseling, classes, whatever, please let us know as we stand to sing.